Jesus said something very profound. He said many things profound, but one of the things that Jesus said was that a time is yet to come in John 4, 23 and 24, and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. In every generation, as I've said for several weeks, there's a time that comes when the true worshipers rise up, and they are strategic in the kingdom, and they are strategic to bring heaven to earth. And once again, we're in this season when God is highlighting the true worshipers. And I hope you've been here for the messages. If not, check them out on our website, on our app, on our phone, on your phone. Embrace Simply Jesus, because God tells us, Jesus tells us, there are worshipers, and then there are worshipers the Father seeks. And we have a choice which kind of worshiper we want to be, a worshiper or a worshiper that the Father seeks. We must become true worshipers. Now, the first half of this series, I taught on what does it mean to worship in the Spirit, and I pray that all of you are pressing in to letting your spirit soar into the heavenlies, to see the things that only can be imagined. That creativity, that place where God sees you. But I've now turned the corner and have begun teaching on what does it mean to worship in the truth, for a true worshiper worships in the truth. Last week, I taught on the first truth, that worship is our witness. Worship is our witness until our witness is all worship to him. Today, I'm going to continue on that theme with the second truth. And the second truth is this: worship is how we fight our battles. Come on. I'm going to just dig into what that means. So turn with me to your Bible. In your Bibles, open your Bibles to Psalm 98, and let us dig into this second truth of a true worshiper, that worship is how a true worshiper fights his or her battles. Psalm 98. Holy Spirit, you have given us your word, and now we open our hearts for the revelation of the word that you will plant in each of us. I stand ready to receive something new from you. I invite you into that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 98, follow along as I read. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Go ahead, sing a brand new song to the Lord. He is famous for his miracles and marvels, for he is victorious through his mighty power and holy strength. Everyone knows how God has saved us, for he has displayed his justice throughout history. He never forgets to show us his love and faithfulness, how kind he has been to Israel. All the nations know he stands behind his people and how he saves his own. Go ahead, everyone, and shout out praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sound of praise. Sing your melody of praise to the Lord and make music like never before. Blow the trumpets and the shofars. Shout with joyous triumph before King Yahweh. Let the ocean waves join in the chorus with their roaring praise until everyone everywhere shouts out in unison, glory to God. Let the rivers and the streams clap with applause as the mountains rise in a standing ovation to join in the mighty choir of exaltation. Look, here he comes, the Lord, the judge of all the earth. He's coming to make things right and to do it fair and square, and everyone will see that he does all things well. Amen. Glory to God. If our witness of God's glory can be contained, then his power can be distorted and replaced. Of all the things that we must witness, be witnesses of, the earth is waiting. Man is waiting for his church to be witnesses of his glory. And the enemy wants to contain our witness of his glory so that he can distort God's power and replace it with an inferior power. The most evil, deceptive spirit attacking the church is the religious spirit. It's right at the heart of worship. It is what Jesus called out. The religious spirit attacks first in the expressions of worship. It knows, listen, it knows it can't keep God's people from the act of worship. So what it will do is it will focus on the expressions of worship. And even apply fear if somebody is too expressive in a service. The tragedy in the church is there's not enough dancing. There's not enough praising and shouting. There's not enough blowing of the horns. There's not enough praises. Not enough singing of new songs. The enemy will work overtime to keep God's people contained in worship because they know, he knows, that those expressions of worship are God's love languages. And when we express according to the biblical love languages of God, his glory falls for his church to be a witness of. Not us, then who? If not now, then when? That's why most of the world believes more in tarot card readers and palm readers and all the black magic than it does in the possibility of the power of God flowing through God's people. The strategy of religion is containing worship in a box. Because worshiping in a box will keep you from the power of the cross. Jesus said it this way. He looked at the religious leaders and he said to them, he says, "You clouds without rain, you brood of vipers, you whited sepulchers, you whitewash the outside of a grave, but inside are dead man's bones." In this text, it talks about not containing worship in a box. The text describes, it's the same combination of words of break out of the box that Jesus used to describe the whited sepulcher of religion. In other words, what the Bible is saying, that worship can be contained in a box in the church. Let me ask you, when you're struggling, do you think of worship first? Worship is how we fight our battles. We must worship before we pray, so our prayers become worship. Not a pleading, but a praising prayer. Psalm 98:4 says this, "So go ahead, everyone, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box, break out of the box, and let loose. Break out of the box and let loose." How? With the most joyous sounds of praise. We try to fight our battles. without the joyous sounds of praise. We don't think worship first. Study God's word, memorize the scripture, say that scripture. But there's something very powerful of a priority when worship is how you fight your battles. The word break out of the box, it means to break up the foul ground. It literally means if there's a war against you, coming against you, you break it up. It's like that superpower hero. When all this attack is you and you're feeling under it, and all of a sudden, poof, you break it up. How? With the most joyous sounds of praise. The word break out of the box, it means to cut ties with things. The enemy wants to keep you in your mind, wants to get into a debate with you, wants to get you to argue with him. Break out of the box, the Bible says. The word let loose, it means to break out, cut ties, and to be loosed from whatever is attacking you, to be loosed from it. The Bible says this, you need only stand still and the Lord will fight your battles. Standing still is not standing idle, loved ones. It's worshiping him. Standing still, it means not to engage yourself, but worshiping the one who engages in the fight. See, the truth is, biblical worship is how we fight our battles. And today, I want us to understand that the spirit of religion is at an attack against worship. If he can keep you contained in worship, the very physical expression of worship, if he can keep you contained in worship, he'll keep you in a box. What are the boxes you find yourself in? Where have you hit a limit in your faith? What is causing you not to break through to what God is doing? Boxes come in all sizes and shapes. There's the box of Christmas past. The way we did it is the way you do it. The way we did it then is how you're supposed to do it now. This is how you do it. What are the boxes you find yourself in? See, because here's the thing that you and I must remember. Here's the thing you and I must remember. This is the first time you are in relationship with God at this age. And in the kingdom of heaven, there's no boxes. What is the box that is containing you? Your attitude, your ideas, your faith, your walk, what you think is possible, what you're dreaming of, what you're visioning. What are the boxes that have crept into your life? It's time to break out of the boxes and let loose. Boxes are made of man. They're the whited sepulchers of religion that constantly, constantly, constantly attempt to keep you down here, to keep you into this thing that says there is a way, a tradition, a thing. And that's just it, and that's what it is, and that's what it always will be. Constantly keeping you down here, as if God doesn't have any new ideas, as if God isn't doing a new thing. Constantly keeping you, keeping a lid on you. And the older we get, the harder it is to break out of the boxes. Last week, if you recall, we had a prophetic act where our ceiling became our floor. We got to keep it that way. What are the boxes you find yourself in? Boxes are made of man, but here's the thing, you are not made by man. Worship, as the Bible tells us, is the key to growing closer to the Father, feeling more of his affection, encountering more of him, releasing more of him. And one of the most critical times to worship is when you are in a battle. It has to become your instant reflex. If somebody were to throw something at you and you saw it at the corner of your eye, what's your instant reflex? Right? That's what worship must be when you get hit, when you get attacked, when you're under pressure, when you find yourself in a box. That has to be the first order of business. That has to be the first instinct. Because true worshipers know that worship is how they fight their battles. It's the first thing they do, not the last thing they do. There is no argument to worship, loved ones, but the enemy can stand. There's no knowledge you can bring that stands to the worship of our King. What is the box you find yourself struggling with? It's time to worship. It's time to break out of the boxes of religion. Because religion continues to be the great plague that attacks the church. It's so destructive in every generation that masses amounts of God's people miss his moving on the earth. Toronto was a great and powerful revival, but two-thirds of the church blast it because of some extreme things they heard. Fake news. Brownsville, that wasn't of God because of some crazy thing that happened. Therefore, the millions that got saved were meaningless. Fake news. You think that's a new phenomenon? It happens when the church does not make worship the way they fight their battles. Worship is the beginning. Worship is the key to breaking down the barriers, to breaking down the lies, to breaking down the distorted truths out of context. It's time to break out the boxes. But you say, I don't know how to get out of this box. This is the way I think. This is the way I do things. This is what I know. God says it's time to break out of the box and let loose. And I will show you things that your eye has not seen or ear has heard if you make worship your priority in all the battles you fight. This is a lesson I have learned. The moment I get attacked, praise you, Lord, is what comes out of my mouth. Not, I reject that, I rebuke that, I command you to leave. Praise you, Lord, glory to your name. It's time to break out of the boxes. We got a generation that's going to hell because the church is in a box, thinking that just keep doing what we always do and we'll have a different outcome this time. Time to break out of the boxes. What are the boxes that are holding you down? Break out of the box. Delight in him as your great lover. To break out of all the boxes, how you fight your battle as you delight in him as your great lover. Look, there's a difference between calling him the one you love. There's a difference between him as someone that loves you and him as your lover. Those are two different things. One is a theological, theoretical thing. Yeah, he loves me. It's like, my father, I know, loves me. That's different than he's my lover. I'm his lover. Look what the scripture says, Psalm 91:1. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has spoken to me. He says this, because you have delighted in me as my great, what? Lover. I don't think of you as someone that loves me. I think of you as my lover. Those are two entirely different things. A lover is someone you're engaged in love, in the spirit, according to the biblical principles of this. It's an active love affair between you and your Father, you and your God, you and your Lord Jesus, you and Holy Spirit. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover. Look, look what I do. I do what? I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. Worship is how we fight our battles. How do we break out of the box? How do we let worship fight our battles as we come to him as his great lover? What does it mean to be someone's lover? Versus just, I know that he loves me. God loves me and I love him. No. It's deeper. It's more intimate. He says, because you have delighted in me as my great lover, because you come to me as my great lover, I will protect you greatly. When I'm getting hit, I run to my lover. The Bible says, because you have delighted in me, it means that you've demonstrated your delight. You've demonstrated your delight. You've demonstrated yourself as his lover. You've demonstrated your love. You know, in any relationship, you have to demonstrate your love, right? You can't just, you got to demonstrate it. I mean, it's true, right? You got to demonstrate it. That word, because you've delighted, it says, because you have demonstrated to me by your worship to me, by your life to me, that you're my lover. Because you've done that, I will greatly protect you. That's why I will make myself undignified before man. My lover is worth it. When I'm with my spouse, I hold her hand, put my arm around her in public, my Tony, I will demonstrate my love before man. In worship, I demonstrate my love for my Father before man. Him as your lover and you as his. Ask him if you're not sure. Papa, what? How can I express my love to you more? How can I do this? It's two-part. It's to pursue him as your lover every day, and every word you read, every prayer you pray, every thought you think of him, every response of him you receive and he speaks to you, you do it not like you're listening to a teacher, not like you're listening to a professor, not like you're listening to God Almighty, but that your lover has just shared something with you. And then delight in him as his lover. Delight in him by what you do in public, not just what you do in private, but what you do in private and what you do in public. Loving him and being loved by him. Break out of the boxes, loved ones. God has a love language. This is how you fight your battles. And you got to honor his love languages as his lover. Now, in the natural realm, we know, we've been told that our spouse has five love languages, right? Words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality time, physical touch. I bet with your spouse, you can figure out which of those five is their primary love language, number one and number two. Every single one of us have a primary love language. Now, let me ask you, if you chose not to engage in the way they like to love, but the way you like to feel love, how's that working for you? Probably not too good. Why is it when it comes to worship we do that with God? I'm going to worship the way I'm comfortable worshiping. Okay, it's fine. You can do that. But God tells us in his word what he loves in worship. It's his love languages. And you and I have a choice to love him the way he loves to be loved in worship or not. And the result will be what you receive of affection back from him. How close he will draw to you, and how much of his glory you will be able to witness and release. That's why David, a man after God's own heart, wrote so many of these psalms. He was so in love with God. He's so connected with God's love languages. God just poured on him. You see, he loves when we sing him a new song, a melody of praise, making music like never before, Psalm 98:5. Your song of what he's done for you, like never before, you sing a song of praise to him. He loves new songs. He loves new songs. He's in the now. He's in the new. He's in the now. He's doing something new. His mercies are new every morning. It's a new thing. It's a new sound. It's a new song because his mercy is new. I love so much of the music of the past. I love it. I do. I love it. But I can't stop thinking of all the times he says, sing me a new song. Sing to me something. And this is how you fight your battles. Singing him as you're worshiping him, just a new song. It's like, remember in The Sound of Music, there's Maria and she gets all the kids and tells Captain Von Trapp, the kids have a song for you, a song for me. And the father sits down and they all sing the song and he tears up and he's just so overwhelmed by the song they just sung. Your father in heaven is waiting for you to sing him a new song. He says, sing me a song. Oh, I can't wait. Just sit right there. I want to hear your song. This is how we fight our battles. He loves uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. Uncontainable. People ask me, why do you keep bringing this whole thing about shouting to the Lord, this uncontainable praise? Because the Father loves it. That's what he loves. That's what he loves. Okay, fine. But this is how we fight our battles. Uncontainable praise spilling from our hearts. Psalm 92:1, it's so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praise spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praise over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted in all. This is his love language. Shouting to him. In the text that I read in Psalm 98, you notice when we shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. The mountains and the hills and the earth and the waves join us in the choir of heaven. They're waiting for us. Uncontainable praise. Number three, shouts to the Lord, as I was saying. Psalm 95:2, everyone come meet his face with a thankful heart. Don't hold back your praises. Make him great by your shouts of joy. Don't hold back. Don't stand in a box. Shout to the Lord. All the earth, let us sing. Shout to the Lord. He loves it. Number four, he loves raising a banner for the nations. Isaiah 62:10-11, pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up a highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter Zion, see your Savior comes, see his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He loves when we raise a banner. We declare the victory is his. We make a proclamation, a visible proclamation. He loves it. The God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a way to prepare the way for the people. It's declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord over all things. The prophetic act of worship. He loves making music and dancing. He loves it. He loves when his children dance. Let them praise his name with dancing and make him music with timbrels and harps. He loves when we perform these incredible sounds. It's not performance. Don't get me wrong, that's not performance. He loves music made, praises and dancing. He loves it. There's so many other things he loves in the secret place. He loves. But recognize, as I said before, in our private time with him is a time of quiet meditation, of deep contemplation, of silence before him. He loves it. He loves it. But when it comes to public worship, it's public. It's not for you, it's for him, for the world to witness. It's time to get out of the box, because this is how we fight our battles. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a religious spirit that's trying to contain us, ever contain us in a box. Keep us in the box. Keep us contained. Silence our voice. The church's voice has been silenced in this country. The fake news is out of control. What's its genesis? I will tell you. I believe it was worship. I believe it was the day that we thought we had to contain ourselves in worship. Not be expressive. Not be undignified. Not do too much of this, not do this, not lay on the floor, not shout out to the Lord, but contain yourself. It's out of order. I believe it started in worship. It's that whited sepulcher. It's that grave that's whitewashed on the outside, but inside are dead man's bones. It's because the church has not used its voice. And you know where it finds its voice? When we shout to the Lord. I have a voice for the Lord. Yeah, no. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. That's where we find our voice, because our voice is to him first. for our voice to be the world second. It's time to break out of the box, because this is how we fight our battles. What are the boxes you find yourself in today? Truth number two, worship is how we fight our battles. And I don't mean like worship versus praise. I mean the whole thing, worship, praise. It's raising our voice to him. It's praising his name. Everything in our life, every part of our life begins and ends in worship. And the Bible says the true worshipers know that worship is how we fight our battles. Let's stand. It's time to break out of every box that we have made or allowed to be made around us. I'm not suggesting that everyone has to do everything. Please don't think that's what I'm suggesting. But what I am saying is the Holy Spirit will show you what you must do. It's time to break out of the boxes. See, God has love languages. God has love languages. Will you love him the way he likes to be loved and worshiped? That decision you and I must make. What are the boxes that right now need to be broken apart? Let's worship. Let's break them apart as we sing this song. Let's sing.
This is how I find my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I